This episode is brought to you by Habit Aware. My Keen 2 brings awareness to my trichotillomania by giving my wrist a gentle hug or vibration when I'm doing the scanning behavior. Bring awareness into your life by visiting barbaralally.com/habitaware and use code LALLYLOVE for 10% off.
I'm Sarah. I am from Long Island, New York. I was born and raised there, and I actually live in Virginia now with my husband. We just got married 3 months ago today. And yeah, I'm a drinking water engineer, chemical engineer by trade, and I have trichotillomania. So I pull my hair from my scalp mostly. And I think I started pulling when I was around 13. Like, my first memory of pulling is like in ninth or 10th grade. And it's kind of ramped up ever since, and I still pull like every day, and it's a struggle, but I learned a lot about it in the past, 5 or so years, and definitely have more of a level of acceptance and understanding of it. But it's definitely a challenge, and I just love hearing more and more people talk about it and learn about it and be exposed to what it is before it can be so scary.
If you don't mind, can you share that first memory that you have of pulling?
My first memory, I always think of seeing a pile of hair on the kitchen floor in my parents' old house that I grew up in. And I can remember like the pile being on the floor and me like sitting at the table doing my homework. And that's just like the first thing I think of. So I think it was ninth grade, at some point doing my homework, just like noticing there was a pile of hair on the floor and being like, oh, that's accumulated.
What do you remember happening after that realization of like, oh, well, wait a minute?
I told nobody for years, many, many years, and nobody noticed for a really long time. So I think I Googled it maybe by like senior year of high school. So, at least 3 or 4 years later, and I'm 27 now. So it's been like 13-ish years of pulling. So I think I Googled it myself at some point, like after a long time of thinking like, this is really weird. Nobody else I know does this. And I had had like a slight, the only experience I'd had with it from other people was like, at one point my sister used to like pull out her eyebrows when she was little and then fully stopped. And it's funny because I remember thinking like, oh my God, I did this, like, no one else I knew like pulled. So I never told my sisters, who I'm really close with, didn't tell my parents. At some point in college, I think, since I had Googled it a few years prior, I kind of knew. I'm like, I probably have this scary long thing with a scary long name, but like it has a terrifying name and I hope I don't have that. But also like a little relieved that it had a name and other people, that must mean other people did it. And I think I mentioned it to my mom at some point in college, like, oh, by the way, like, I think I like pull my hair out. I have this weird habit where I like pull my hair out, especially when I'm doing my homework. It was never visible. I didn't have like any visible hair loss until like 2020, I think. So that was after many, many years of pulling. So no one ever asked me about it or pointed it out to me until I started to have visible hair loss, except for like one hairdresser one time. Because it was one of the, back in high school, or maybe early college, I had like one little bald spot, one of my first like bald spots, because again, like the intensity has ramped up a lot. So I never used to have bald spots until like after college, really. And one hairdresser was like, you have like a bald spot on your head. Like, do you think you have alopecia? And I had never even heard the word alopecia, but I'm like, probably not. It's probably because I've been pulling. But I didn't say that. I was just like, oh, weird. I have no idea. So I think he was the first person who ever mentioned it to me. And I was like, I don't know. It's a mystery to me. And then I think I mentioned it. I mention it to my mom of like, by the way, like, did you know I do this weird thing? And now, yeah, but until then, I had just Googled it myself. And then the first time I ever went to a therapist was also in college, like third, yeah, junior year of college. And I mentioned it to them too. And still to this day, like every therapist I've had hasn't been like overly familiar with it. Like I've had to tell them about it, or they've been like, oh yeah, I've heard of that. And like a lot of them will have like pronounced it wrong, or like clearly like just don't know that much about it. So definitely my learning about it was from like Googling and then seeing, I mean, amazing people like you. Like you're the second ever Instagram account I ever found. And I literally, you might be interested in like the route that I found people who follow, people who talk about trichotillomania. So I'm pretty sure the first one ever, her name is Rachel. I think you follow her. She's from England. I don't think she posts that much anymore, but I have no idea how. Maybe I Google, actually don't remember. I might have searched on Instagram trichotillomania, and I think she was the first person I ever found who had trichotillomania, who was posting on Instagram, and I was blown away. And this was 2020, so like during COVID, I was blown away. I was like, oh my God. And then on her page, that's how I found Cameron, who makes crochet. She made a hat for you with your Trickster Diaries logo on it, and then that's how I found you. So it was Rachel to Cameron to you. And anyway, my point is like I think there are more accounts now, but like it was so far in between, and it's hard to even remember what it felt like to not know a single soul with trichotillomania. And now that I just like see so many people talking about it on Instagram, like through the wonderful community you fostered. I mean, incredible, like thousands of people following you. It's just like insane. So yeah, that was kind of my journey to like learning more about it and hi coming out of the trick hole, trick hiding hole.
I love knowing that story actually so much. That's so cute. I love them both. They've been on the show before.
Wait, I have to find their episodes. Oh my gosh. I really want to listen to them.
I believe it was both of them were on when I was doing it on Instagram Live. So, like, my very first episodes on this podcast are unedited. I have no music, I have no ads. It's me like saying, okay, everybody, like, we're just gonna wait until they join the Instagram Live. Like, I had like my customer service voice. Like I was so scared to death.
Yeah.
I don't know what possessed me to go on Instagram Live. What? But yeah, their episodes are, they're amazing. I don't know if it was my best work. They were fantastic though.
Oh, the growth. So much growth. Yes, I definitely want to go listen to them. Yeah, I was just pure shock. You three were the first three. And then Hattie also was one of my original, like, top five. I think though you guys are really the main ones that I still follow and watch along. But yeah, just incredible work. Thank you. I mean,
Thank
you know
you.
how much I admire your work, and like I mean, everyone listening, like Barbara is so brave because just to do this, like it's insane. I can't even put words to it, and you won't even know how many people you're helping and helping them to understand this thing that they have been hiding in a hole from. So it's just, I could talk about it forever. I'm just like so amazed and grateful for you.
You're gonna make me have to pause. I'm gonna start crying. Sarah, seriously.
I have to give you credit on this public platform. I have to pronounce my love and appreciation because it's crazy. Like you don't even know. Oh my gosh. And people must say that all the time of just like, yeah, it's like a public service, like Mama Teresa, just crazy service to the world.
This has been my favorite episode so far. Thank you so much.
Oh.
No, seriously. It really does mean a lot to me. I'm gonna probably cry after this. So thank you. Thank you. You see, I'm
You're
getting red.
so welcome. You're my
You're clocking it. You're
pleasure.
clocking the cheeks are
Dear.
getting red. I have to compose myself. But thank
Of
you so much for that.
course, of course.
Something that you mentioned, your sister, when she experienced trichotillomania and you said she stopped doing it. Does she have any other BFRBs? Did she maybe have more than one? You know, sometimes we see that where people say, oh, you know, I stopped. And we say, oh, well, what do you do instead? And maybe it's nail biting or skin picking, things like that.
Yeah, it's so funny because in all of the knowledge I have of trichotillomania from like resources I found and research I've done, I feel like hers is such a rarity to like pull your eyebrows when you're young and then just randomly stop. I swear, like, puberty has something to do with it. Like so many of us I know started like right around puberty. And I feel like something about the fact that she pulled when she was so young, like before puberty, it's almost like she hit that wall of puberty and like kind of got over it without having trichotillomania stay. So I honestly don't even know if she would even identify as like having had it. It's so interesting. And I don't think she has other BFRBs. Like my whole family, interestingly, like picks at pimples and will like see a pimple on someone else's face and be like, oh, I should pop that. And it drives me crazy because I'm like, everyone thinks I'm so weird because I put my hair out. Meanwhile, all of you are also having these little tendencies. So yeah, I don't think she has other BFRBs. Like she doesn't bite her nails. I always think it's related, like she and I, especially compared to our other sister who's older than I am, I'm in the middle. My younger sister and I both like scratch mosquito bites like a ton. I don't have skin picking, but like I feel like more than the average person will like scratch mosquito bites, and like I have tons of scabs on my legs, like not from picking, but from like over scratching. My younger sister does too. So like I feel like that could be related, but she never went back to hair pulling. As far as I know, it's interesting.
That is. And I'm happy that you brought up the fact that it was before puberty, because from people that I've spoken to, they do say, like, baby trick, they call it, is when people say, like, oh, you'll probably grow out of it. Well, if they are that young, then sometimes they really do. Like, most times they do. So it is, thank you for sharing a little bit more about her experience, because, yep, yeah, it's definitely a thing.
That's so interesting. That's so validating because I had that like theory, but I never heard it before and from other people. So, yeah, that's interesting.
When you first developed trichotillomania, before you found out that there was a name for it, what were some ways that maybe you were trying to lessen your pulling?
I never wore hats until I think after college. Like, I was so ignorant of it. Like, I think I ignored it for a long time because I never told anyone else, and I kind of just could pretend that it wasn't really real. And because I never had visual damage or visual effects, and we could talk about it more, but like I wear a hair piece now, and it like is life changing. And because I have really visual hair loss from trichotillomania, and so until that happened, I literally feel like I shoved it under the rug. Like, and also it was less frequent than it is now. Like, it used to be only when I was doing homework, when I was like sitting at a table or sitting at my desk in my room, like my childhood room, alone. I don't even think I had management tools back then. It's so weird. Like, right after college is when I started wearing hats and bandanas, but in high school, it's so weird to think back to that time because I'm just like, I think I was just ignoring it and like doing it all the time with zero, like reckless abandon, basically, but like in secret, like so that nobody would notice. Secret enough.
So for people maybe who are listening who don't have trichotillomania but want to learn more, maybe they have a loved one who is experiencing it, what is it like for you when you're looking for the hair and then when you pull out the hair? Like, what is your ritual with the hair before, during, and after pulling?
I love that you asked that because not even a therapist has really asked that. And like only someone who like has trich would ask that. And obviously for the benefit of like people listening, which I absolutely love and like want everyone to understand it, but also it's like to my own benefit of just being able to put words to it. So, yeah, the ritual is I will do like the searching. So like I like go down to my scalp and kind of search for the hair. And it's usually, honestly, it's a mix of whether it's like a hair that feels weird, like a lot of people say that feels crinkly or thicker than others. And us, like tricksters, or we can kind of tell the hairs. I'm pretty sure, honestly, no medical professional has ever really confirmed this, but I swear this is the truth. Like the ones that are newer and like younger hairs in your head are thicker at the top, close to the root, and those are the ones that feel really quote unquote juicy. So I'll like search for one that you that I just know in my like compulsion mind, know which one will like feel the most satisfying. And usually it will be if I'm like still sitting at my desk, working is like my number one pulling like kryptonite, or driving anywhere where I can like plant my elbow on like a comfortable spot and then have like access to my head. But yeah, I'll like search for the hair and pull it out. And usually you can tell right away if it's one that feels satisfying. And a really big part of the ritual for me is like looking at the root. So I will never, I think you've made videos about this of like pulling out a hair and then dropping it and being like, oh no, I didn't see it. Like that's a big part of the ritual.
Did you know Habit Aware also offers virtual peer coaching? This one-to-one peer-based program will coach you through shifting mindset, practicing healthy strategies, and creating your personal roadmap to recovery. To work with me, Ellen, or Anila, head over to habitaware.com/coaching today.
To see like the shape of it and the feel and if it's like sticky. And I often will bite it or like put it on my lips or bite it to see, just like feel it, I guess. And then the really weird part is that, again, I've talked about it with friends and but I'm not like at the stage of talking about it really openly, like you are, Barbara, or like like a lot of people are. So it still sparks so much shame in me to like talk about the intricacies of the ritual because it sounds so bizarre. But like often, like right after if I pull a hair that's like really good or really juicy, like I can't throw it out right away. I put it on my desk or like put it on my computer. And it's so weird. It's like you're saving it. And I don't save them. I wonder if some people do that. But I throw it away eventually. But it's almost like you have to look at it or like admire that you got it. And it gives like this tiny little hit of dopamine or whatever the chemical is, serotonin, one of those, that makes you want to do it again and repeats the process all over. So eventually I'll have like a pile of hair on the table. And I think the point at which I hope other like tricksters will hear it and be like, oh, me too. Because people who don't pull must be like, ew. But that's the world. That's the nature of this. We have to kind of accept it as it is. But I think at the point, once it's on the table and once it's like dried out, like the root is dried out, I feel like that's when I can throw it out. So that's kind of my ritual, start to finish. Very weird to put it out there in all the details, but that's how it goes.
I remember, you know how you said you feel like some shame, like it's scary to share this. I remember it took me like 100 times to even be able to say out loud that I have trichotillomania to like someone who I didn't know. I would blush from like my head to my toe. Like I would be so bright red, I'd be like sweating. But everything that you've said, like I also do the same thing. Like I especially with eyelashes, like I'll stick them to my phone, to my top of my hand. They'll be on my book, the hairs too. I'll keep them, but oh, if it's really good, I want to stare at it. I want to keep it. Like you're saying
Literally.
exactly like speaking my language. And I'm sure everyone listening is going to be like, yup.
Love that. Oh yeah, there's been hair stuck to every which surface. I've also thought about how like they gotta make some industrial level glue out of like whatever the substance is on like hair roots, because I don't know if other this has happened to you. I've like pulled a hair while driving and tried to like flick it out the window, and it will literally get stuck on the outside of my window when I'm driving at full speed, like on the highway. And I'm like, how is this tiny hair like impervious to highway speed driving? Like with wind blowing by it, and this little hair is like stuck on the window. I'm like, that is a strong little baby. And I swear they gotta make some like industrial strength glue out of hair roots. The things we notice about hair, like, oh my God. So detailed is this whole process, is just like so detail oriented.
Yeah, I feel like we have special fingertips. Like our
Oh yeah.
brains are special, but the fingertips themselves, like, you know, even looking at someone's hair, I could feel the texture of the perfect ones. I'm like, I like you, I like you, I like you. Who else can do that? That's pretty special, you know?
I know. I know. I know, and I know people have suggested, like a therapist has suggested, like, oh, we need to find you something like really detail oriented that you can like focus your brain on. And I'm like, and I'm really not artistic at all. Like I've done like one paint by numbers. I feel like that would be good because you have to really focus on it. But I feel like the nature of trick is just nothing quite feels so good and is gonna be as like capturing of one's of our attention as like the hair process, you know, the whole ritual.
Yeah, there's nothing that like the only thing that I do a lot of things. Like I try a lot of things, but like sometimes there's nothing to do except that. Like I can do any management and it's like who cares? My hands are still gonna go there. The closest thing I can get to satisfaction is playing with my split ends. It's still the hair. I'm still pulling the bottom off. I'm searching, I'm seeking, I'm finding all these things. And it's so close. Like people, maybe therapists would be like, don't do that, but too bad, I'm doing it. But you know, it's that's the only real substitute. I'm like, okay, if I feel like pulling, well, let me just look at my split ends instead.
Totally.
And then let me put you on paint by numbers to me, like in my experience, boring. What is good for me, sometimes I used to do it a ton before. I haven't done it in a while, but I'm thinking about starting it again. Diamond painting. Have you heard of that?
Have you posted about it?
I have, but I haven't done one in a while. I think I probably posted like my old stuff.
Is it where you do little stickers of diamonds?
Yeah, little gemstones? Yes.
Oh, gemstones. Okay. I feel like I can picture it, but I haven't tried it, and maybe I should try it. Oh, I always feel like trichotillomania is like a toddler. Like it gets bored after like 10 minutes of an activity. So you have to like keep feeding new activities. Like I'll never forget when I was babysitting this 2-year-old, and like we had to literally switch activities every 5 minutes. And sometimes I think about that with hair pulling of like, for one day this thingy will work, these popper thingies, and then like it will stop working. Or actually it'll work for like 5 minutes. Like not even the whole day. And you just gotta keep it on your toes, you know, like bring in new strategies.
And I love that you say that because I think for at least most of my journey, I was like, who's giving me the cure and what is it? What pill, what one pill can I take? Listen, what 5 pills? At one point I was taking a bunch of things. But I'm like, what's the cure for me? What's the cure for me? Once I was able to think about it the way that you're talking about it, like, oh, I just need a bunch of stuff. Like I need a bunch of things to do, kind of made me feel better. How did your experience with going from, you know, were you kind of like cure driven? And now, you know, getting to the place where maybe management is what you're looking for.
It's a long journey. I feel like I'm still on it. Like I feel like I go back and it's almost like day by day, you know? And an interesting part of it is what role like psychiatry has played. So I think really until I found more people talking about it, like on Instagram, I was pretty cure driven, but also that leads to a horrible hopeless. It led for me led to like a really hopeless cycle because, you know, it just has gotten in worse, meaning frequency, like, and visual hair loss has just ramped up ever since I started. Like, it hasn't really gone up and down. It's really just continuously gone up in terms of how much I pull, like, since I started when I was a teenager. Yeah, until maybe like the last 5 years, I was like cure driven in that, God, I hate this and I want it to stop, but I don't know if it ever will. And then I think really just hearing from people like you and people other like Hattie and Rachel and Joyce also on Instagram who just talk so much about management and that like if you're oriented feels right to you, then go for it. But when it's turning into a harmful cycle, like then turn to management. So I feel like I still on that chain. Like I feel like I still bounce back and forth between cure and management because, you know, I'm sure I don't want to speak for everybody, but a lot of people I'm sure would be like, yeah, I would love for this to go away completely. But an interesting part of that recently has been seeing a psychiatrist that I started seeing a psychiatrist for the first time in 2021, and I started a medication for the first time, not for trichotillomania. Like, knows the psychiatrist, I think it's so funny. Like, I definitely used to downplay trich to therapists and psychiatrists, I think, because I was just so petrified of them, like not knowing what it was and not understanding it and having to ask me questions. And they would be like, "Oh, how's your hair pulling?" I'd be like, "Yeah, you know." Like, I know I would never, I think I downplayed it. And then at one point when I like had so much hair loss, I feel like my therapist was kind of surprised. And then I actually cut my hair because of trichotillomania into a pixie cut because I was just so sick of like having all the different lengths of hair. And I did that in 2023. Like, I feel like my therapist was kind of surprised because I didn't, like, I talked about so many other things and focused on like so many other things with mental health. And I think that because I was kind of hopeless about trichotillomania, that I'm like, no one knows how to fix it. I don't want to just harp on it. And also, this, like, these healthcare professionals don't really understand it. So it's more stressful to talk about it. So I went on medication for just other like anxiety things and did DBT, also not focused on trichotillomania, just on general anxiety and like other mental health focuses that I had. And I DBT was life-changing, not for trichotillomania, really didn't change trich whatsoever, but was life-changing in like a lot of other ways for mindset and coping skills and emotional regulation and things that are very much probably related to trich. But you know, like I said, it's trich has continued to go up and up despite how much growth I've made in my general mental health. And like education of myself through DBT was just so informative about how to handle difficult emotions and handle stress, handle difficult like interpersonal situations. So anyway, where I'm going with this is that I was on medication, not specifically for trich, and kind of was on the same medication regimen for like 4 years. And my insurance changed last year when I finished grad school. I got new insurance, so I had to see a new psychiatrist to like continue just regular medication management. And I've had the most interesting experience with this new psychiatrist, and I have a lot of interesting feelings about it. And I don't ever want to discourage people from like seeking medication, if just inquiring about it. Like, and obviously I can't tell people what to do, but I think it's okay to, like, in my opinion, seek medical help if you want to, and you find someone that makes you feel safe and in talking about it, but also with the grain of salt of like, don't expect there to be an easy medication solution. But basically, the psychiatrist was like so surprised that my trich was so bad and that it hadn't improved with any of the medication and that I hadn't changed my medication for so long. And that my trich was still so bad. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, there is no standard of care for trichotillomania. So, like, what are you talking about? Like, why are you so surprised that, like, I'm not on some trichotillomania treatment? And I initially was very put off by, like, his attitude. I thought it was cocky. And I'm like, this guy doesn't know anything about trich. Like, clearly he hasn't treated enough people because all the people that I've met and spoken to, like, if there was medication for trichotillomania, everyone would be on it, and that is that. But he was just encouraging me to, like, just try a different medication and treat it in a way that is similar to treating OCD. I don't know why. I don't even know if it's helpful to tell this story. I just feel like hearing people's experiences with medication is helpful. And again, I don't want to discourage people from like looking for it if they want to. But basically, the medication was pretty intense. Like, this has literally just been the last month, and I tried it and it caused some difficult side effects. And this psychiatrist is just really adamant that like trichotillomania doesn't have to be forever. And I tried to ask him, like, how many people have you treated like with trich? What's kind of your track record? Because it always is sketchy when people talk about track records, like, you know, things online that advertise, oh, like, I have a whole treatment system for trich. Like, those things are, I find, really sketchy. So I was inclined to be skeptical of him too. And he's just a regular psychiatrist. Like, I didn't go to him specifically for trichotillomania, but I described to him, like, I think also because this was one of the first times that I was more real about the severity. Like I was saying before, to other professionals, I think I downplayed it and just didn't go, was scared or embarrassed to like really tell all the details and scared to like be rejected almost and have no solution. So I think I was more real with him because I was like, you know what, this is a new guy. Let me just lay it all out there and just see what he thinks. And so I'm kind of so that's where I was going with like I'm mid cure and management because I'm very torn because I have this doctor who's saying like you don't have to live this way forever. And I'm like, I really hope that's true. I would love for that to be true, but like the community that I've met and people that I've spoken to about it, like no one has echoed this like kind of the attitude that you have, Mr. Doctor. So I'm like very torn because I mean it's not like he's discouraging management in the place of like cure seeking, but I just think it's so complicated where people with trick are told, you know, there is a cure, there isn't a cure. Like, and it's not like he's guaranteeing anything, but he just was so surprised that like it was so bad. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure millions of people like have it this bad and haven't found something that works. There could be a lot of reasons for that. It could be because people haven't sought out treatment and but there's I mean, and then I did a lot of follow-up research, and I'm so lucky. Like, I have my dad who's a doctor, and he helped me research some of the articles just to see if it's really so obvious, like this doctor made it sound like, because that's what really skewed me out. I'm like, I don't like this attitude. Like, trichotillomania has no obvious solution. And obviously, I think a lot of us get really defensive when people are like, well, why haven't you tried this? And it's like, girl, I've tried, or guides in this case, like, have tried so many things. Like, don't tell me that I haven't tried enough things. So I don't know what the research, what my research showed, and I'm sure like you've done a ton of research too, was like there's no like standard of care. A lot of things have been tried. Like there have been studies, there have been medications tried with like various levels of efficacy. So I don't think it's like hopeless to find a medication that might help, but I do find it disturbing when like I was put off by a doctor being like, oh, like there's a solution. Like you don't have to live like this. And I'm like, don't make those guarantees. I don't know, you know, like be careful with those guarantees. So I'm very much in the middle of this like tug of war, if that makes sense. That's honestly where I'm at. I'm like in the middle of trying to accept like how to manage it forever. This hairpiece has been life-changing because it doesn't have to impact, it now doesn't have to be my outward like first thing I bring to the table. Like doesn't have to be my trick because it was so visible. So in that way I'm like, well, I could live like this forever if I needed to. Like it's hard because I pull every day and my hands hurt and like when I use it as procrastin. I know like you've talked about and I've heard other people on your podcast talk about like sometimes it helps focus. Sometimes it brings you right in to something that you're trying to focus on and it helps you stay in that task. For me, sometimes that's the case, and then other times it's totally procrastination. Like I will just pull for an hour instead of starting what I'm supposed to be starting. So it really goes both ways. So it's like when it's such a strong form of procrastination, it doesn't feel sustainable, and it does make me feel sad and stressed that I'll have to manage this forever because it's like the steepest freaking uphill battle. Trying to pull yourself away from like using it as a procrastination and avoidance tool. So that's my answer. Like I'm very much in the middle and am such a proponent. Like I want to be, yeah, I don't know. It's so complicated. Like it really is so complicated. Trick sucks and is very complicated and gives us a lot to think about and learn about.
So for listeners who maybe are where you were before, you know, maybe they never told anybody, maybe they didn't want to talk about it, and now, you know, you're on a podcast, you're sharing it, you're in the community. What would be your advice to them?
And I'm sure, yeah, a lot of people must feel like emotional just thinking about this because it's just so scary, like in the beginning, and you just have no idea what's going on. I think what I would tell people is like, it's so valid to be so scared and feel so alone and be kind of scared of yourself. Like, Also, because there's so much scary stigma and talk about self-harm, and like people often confuse trick for self-harm. And like I said, sometimes after an hour of pulling, in my experience, it starts to feel like self-harm because this is just my experience. Like the science honestly confuses me of how it has switched from being classified as self-harm to not. And I definitely think it doesn't fall into self-harm most of the time. But personally, in my experience, after like a couple hours where everything is hurting and I'm still doing it and it feels like I'm torturing myself, yeah, it feels a little bit like self-harm because it hurts and it feels sad. And I just want to like shout out people who might feel that way because it's so scary. And then on top of it, you think you have the fear of like, well, what am I doing to myself? Am I mentally ill? Like, what's wrong with me? And so first, I just want to validate that it's so scary and like it's okay to be so scared of it. But if you're hearing this, like if you're hearing this podcast and if you follow Barbara, like you're already just on the path that I have found that has helped me at least be less scared of it. Yeah, my pulling has not gone down. It's like really hard every day, but at least I am not scared of what it is. I'm not scared of what it could turn into. Like, I've met people who are older. Oh my God, one of my favorite things is like hearing from people who are way older than I am, who are like in their 60s, or some of like the older people who have kind of spoken at BFRB events. And I haven't gone to any of those events, but I've just like watched a little and here or there of like videos that have been posted from the TLC conference or various like little snippets of information. And oh my God, it's just like so comforting seeing the older people who've been living with trick, and it's like they're still here, like they are okay, they haven't fallen victim to, like, you know, it hasn't killed them, like they're okay and they have families and lives. And I just feel like to somebody who is still like so scared of it, to just know, like, honestly, it sucks. I don't want to like say, oh, it's not that bad, and like management is the answer to all of your problems. Like, it is the answer to your problems because it's the only way to survive this and not feel hopeless about it. But also, like, yeah, I'm not sugarcoating it of like, oh, you know, trick isn't that bad once you decide to manage it. Like, no, it's still really hard and it doesn't make sense and you can't always understand what is going on in your brain. But like, the answer really is trying to understand when you do it, why you do it, so that it doesn't feel as scary of a mystery. Like, it's not just this huge mystery of what am I doing and like, why is this happening? So I just think if you're listening to this, you're already on the right path of just learning more about it and validating yourself over and over and over again. Other people have this. This is like just my brain coping with hard things, and I can do my best with it. That's all I can do is I can like do my best to help myself. Having patience for yourself that others might not be able to have for you, I think that is really important of like, even if other if people who love you and who are only impatient out of absolute love and like they can't stand to see you suffer, if they can't have that like really painstaking patience that it takes to live with trick, like you can give that to yourself.